to the Lord this morning. We had a little bit of a palliar failure during the service last Sunday. And I don't know if that recording came out or not.
About an hour of it.
Okay.
We saved it for the test after the service.
Okay. All right. And so we'll, for anybody that listens to it, we'll cover back over a little bit of that ground this morning to get us up to where we want to be. Amen. Let's just bow our heads and we're in a prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you now and we ask God for you to guide us, Lord, in this service this morning, dear God, this thought that you've placed on our hearts, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that you would, Lord, just speak to us, Lord, and may our hearts be open to you, dear God. And we ask this in for your glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I see some different ones out. I didn't hear the prayer requests. If there was any prayer requests for them, amen. May God, amen, touch them for whatever they had need of. Amen. Let's turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Amen. You may be seated. As I said last Sunday, I felt to... I just felt more on this subject here, taken from this passage of Scripture in Philippians. We had been teaching out of the book of Philippians on Thursday nights, and I kind of got on these verses and kind of just couldn't get past it yet. So I thought, well, we'll just move it, bumping that part of it on over to Sunday, and really speak on something here the Lord's laid on our heart. And then this past Thursday, we actually finished up the second chapter of Philippians. And so we'll be continuing on in Philippians. It comes to my mind just as I'm saying this, that this coming Thursday, of course, you know, is Thanksgiving. And so we'll be canceling the service for Thursday. And then we'll see everybody again on Sunday. So Lord bless you. May you have a good Thanksgiving, enjoy your family dinners and get-togethers and things, and amen, and thinking about the Lord and what we have to give thanks for in our lives, you know. It's a time where I believe that, I believe we should always be thinking about what we have to give thanks for, you know, in our lives, what God has done in our lives. And I'm often reminded of in the scripture where there were the men that were healed, and only one came back to thank the Lord, and so to thank the man of God. So I think we should. There's a lesson there to be learned. We should always be thankful. You know, don't let the blessings of God that He blesses with our life, don't take them for granted, and go without thanking the Lord for them. Amen. Now, on this subject, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I kind of set the title for last Sunday, and I didn't actually give it to you in that, but it's really on homemade religion. And where I get that from is Brother Branham speaking about this scripture. He takes it, first of all, from men trying to work out their own salvation. And that's not what Paul was saying. Paul wasn't saying that, you know, we actually had the ability to work out our own salvation. We know that our salvation is through Jesus Christ. But what was it, you know, Brother Branham said that men, they try, he says, they make their religions. They make their, and he actually called it a homemade fig leaf religion, to try to save themselves. And the reason they do that is because they don't want to actually accept the word of God, which was given to save them, because it means they got to give up something, they got to quit something, they got to, you know, they got to conform to something, and that to the word of God, and man just doesn't want to surrender. So they want to try to find another way to actually to be justified without actually coming the way that God has laid down. And you realize, you think about this now, where does that actually come from, this trying to find another way? Well, you know, we first of all know that Lucifer, you know, he wanted to be worshipped instead of God. He got kicked out of heaven by Michael and so forth and that. And but then it comes down to earth, and then we find that Adam and Eve, you know, they, after they disobeyed God's word, then they tried to find a way to cover themselves. And so, you know, when God, the presence of God come down into the garden, they realized their man-made covering didn't cover them at all. It didn't cover them from, this is what it didn't cover. It didn't cover the fact that they had disobeyed the word of God. As a matter of fact, their man-made covering was actually a loud testimony that we have disobeyed the word of God. You know, but then you go down then to the children. Here you go to Abel and Cain, and you find that Abel, the Bible says, he offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, and God accepted that sacrifice. But then God comes down and he speaks directly to Cain. And he says, why is your countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not also be accepted? And well, God was telling him, look, you see that Abel was accepted. You see what Abel did. You see that that was acceptable to me. So if you'll come this way, then I will accept you too. But Cain wanted to find another way rather than the word of God that was laid out directly to him by God of how to be acceptable. Cain's like, I want to be accepted, but I don't want to do it that way. Because I want this, or I want, and that's how man is. You know, they want to have these things. They don't want to surrender to God, is really what it is. They don't want to surrender to his word. And when it comes down to it is the fact that, where is their love? You know, what it is, they love some of these other things really more than they actually love God. They love these things that they want to hold on to, sin and different things they want to do and how they want to dress and all these different things. And they like that and they want to hold on to that rather than surrendering to God's word. And so what they do is they try to devise a way, you know, through logic and through reasoning, that these things actually are okay. There's not really anything wrong with them. You know, I can do that, I can have this, and I can still serve God. But the thing is, they love those things more than they love God. You know, they're all, when you look in the scripture, you find there are things that there's actually nothing wrong with. But you still can't love them more than you love God. You know, Jesus gives the parable about making a supper and calling the people to the supper. And the one, you know, they begin to give excuses for why they can't come. I've married. I've taken a wife, and so I can't come. I've bought property, and I got to go see it. And therefore, I cannot come. I've bought 2 yoke of oxen, and they haven't been. I haven't proved them yet. You know, I haven't took them for a test drive yet. And so, instead of coming to the supper, I got to go do this. And the thing I've always pointed out is there's nothing wrong with getting married. There ain't anything wrong with buying property. There ain't anything wrong with buying a pair of ox or a car or a truck or whatever the case may be, a tractor or whatever it is. But if you love those things more than you love God, that's where it comes into being wrong. Not that those things are wrong, but the person's love is in the wrong place. And so then, you know, then you realize that then people say, well, I love God. But the Bible says, Jesus actually says, if you love me, then keep my word. Keep my commandments. But people want to say they love God, but they don't want to keep his word. And Jesus plainly says, that proves you don't love me. He actually says in Matthew, he says, you don't, he's talking to the Pharisees, he says, look, you say that Abraham is your father. He says, but you seek to kill me. This did not Abraham. He said, if Abraham was your father, you'd do like Abraham did. And he says, but the love of God is not in you. He says, and if God was your father, you'd love me. He says, but you don't. And he says, then he tells him, he says, you're of your father, the devil. Now, he acknowledged that they were in actual, the flesh, they were descendants of Abraham. But he pointed to their spiritual genealogy and said, you're of your father, the devil. Now, why does he say this? Because he's, and his works you'll do. And then he points out what the works of Satan is. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning. And he says, the truth of God was not in him. And so he's pointing to this man saying, the truth of God is not in you. If it was, then, and you say you love God, but your actions are showing you don't. And that's where I go with by saying, you know, the people that teach the thing of, well, you know, Brother Branham said, if all that ever loved you and all you ever loved is going to be there and all that. Look, friends, look, I'm going to tell you something. Filial love is not what that's speaking of. Amen. And that's a lot of times where people go to is actually they're talking about filial love, which is the human love. And that's not God's love. It's actually many steps down from God's love, which is agapio in the Greek, or perfect love. So God's love is corrective. God's love doesn't, look, God, the Bible says he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Meaning he provided a way for man to receive salvation and be saved. But God didn't look for a loophole to get him in because he says, I really love them, and they don't want to do this, but I don't really want to see them lost either, so I'll just provide a loophole here. Y'all know what a loophole is. Everybody knows what that is. You know, it's a way to kind of get around the rule so that you can have your way anyhow. God didn't provide ways like that. There's only one way. I remember years ago that I was a young man, and I was working in this factory, and there was another man I was working with that was very religious in that. He found out that I was a Christian, and so he began to come over to me and talk to me quite a bit, and he wanted to kind of share his feelings and what he believed and things like this. And so we had many discussions in that. But one of the things that he described to me, you know, about religion, he says, well, it's kind of like a wagon wheel, he said. He said, you know what an old wagon wheel, the old wooden wagon wheels? I said, yeah. He says, well, you know, it's like we're all coming from all these churches out around here, but we're all going into the same hub. We're the spokes, he says. And so we're going into the same hub, which is God. And I said, that is not how religion works at all. That doesn't fit the Bible. There isn't many ways. There's one way. And the thing about it is, man always wants to find another way. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, here's the thing. You know, iniquity is actually knowing something is wrong and doing it anyway. So, you know, people, there's things that they know that they're doing that are wrong. But the way they try to justify it is the same way that it speaks in the scripture of the two men, the publican and the Pharisee, that comes up to the altar, and the publican, you know, says, smites his heart, said, God, you know, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Pharisee says, I thank God I ain't like him. So you get around people and they say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. That just still doesn't mean you're okay. You know, but this, you know, we brought out last Sunday about people saying, look, if they loved God, then they would keep God's word. People say, well, I love the prophet, but they don't keep what he preached. The thing about it is people pick and choose. You know, and that's exactly what had happened when, by the time Jesus actually came, you know, he was the fulfillment of the scriptures promising the coming of a Messiah. But when that promise came to fulfillment, those that said they were looking for a Messiah and believing, the Jews of that day and the priests and so on and that, they had actually formed their own religion. They had formed from their own ideas and their own opinions, their own religion, and it didn't fit what Jesus was. And therefore, they couldn't recognize him. Now, Brother Adam says this. He says, you know, look, God sends a gift. Speaking about a gift as God sending a man. And he says that God will vindicate that person. He'll vindicate that man. He'll vindicate that gift. And he says, and if the people will receive it, you know, and he says, look, the people have a right to see that it's proven by God. He says, but once God proves it, if they will receive it, he says, then the people will be blessed. He said, but if they reject it, then the only thing that remains for them is judgment. It's chaos. And it has to be accepted by each and every individual. Now, going back to what Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does this mean? It means, friends, look, it doesn't matter. You take a man or woman, you know, that God has done a work in their life. It don't matter how good they are. It doesn't matter how righteous that God has made them. It doesn't matter how much God has blessed them or filled them with the Holy Ghost and all that. People don't get in just because them two individuals love them. People don't get in just because they happen to be the descendants or offspring of those two individuals. The Bible tells us clearly and plainly in Romans that here was Esau and Jacob, and God said, I love one, I hate the other one. And the Bible says, ask the question, were they not both the children of Isaac and Rebekah, two elect people of God? Yeah. They were children of elect children of God, the natural offspring. But the Bible goes, then the Bible, what the Bible's telling you there, that isn't what saves an individual. You don't get in. Your salvation, it isn't hereditary from your natural parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles or whoever. That's what Paul means by work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Brother Branham puts it this way. He says, every individual has to have their personal experience with God. Now, you know, a lot of message people will actually quote from that same quote that I've just quoted you from, that same paragraph. They'll quote from it because within that paragraph, Brother Branham actually talks about preachers. And Brother Branham talks about that before a man should get up and preach, he should be like Moses and meet God on the backside of a desert and have his own experience with God. And he says, and until that happens, he should never get in that pulpit. And man, they'll quote that thing to death and say amen and everything else. But the rest of that paragraph says that each individual needs to have their own experience with God for salvation. So, you know, that's the thing with our children or our loved ones. Look, friends, we can love them with our filial love, and all of us do. But if you can just get yourself to approach it with the love of God, through the love of God, you realize, look, there's not many ways for individuals to be saved. There's not many faiths. There's one faith. There's one faith, one spirit, and one baptism. So it's not come as you, however you will. It's whosoever will, let him come. And you know, I often used to say, you know, look, believing God is not like going to Burger King. Burger King used to advertise, have it your way. That ain't the way it works with God. It's God's way, and that is the only way. And so Brother Branham says this, it's not if your father believes, it's not if your mother believes. What about you? Do you believe? Do you believe? Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said to them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as washing pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. Brother Branham talks about a time he was speaking to a man of religious renown, and he said his name, was Dr. Reed, and he was a very well-educated man in that, and he was talking to Brother Branham, and he says, look, I've tried to go the church way, and he says, you know, they point at, you know, going and learning through these seminaries and different things like that, and all their teachings and everything. You know, and he says, and I've got to a place where I say, but where's Christ? And so he asked Brother Branham, he says, have the teachers that I've listened to been wrong? And what he's saying is, he's look, I've got all these different things. I go to church. I've said I accept Christ as my Savior. But somehow in my life, I'm still looking for where's Christ? And so Brother Branham said, well, I wouldn't say about the teachers whether they're wrong or not. You know, many times people look at things like that and they think, well, why didn't he just come out and say it? He does eventually. But what he says, well, I'm not going to say that they were wrong or not. He says, but Christ don't come that way. And he says, Christ comes by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, and so... this man says to him, he says, well, do you think I could get it that? Would that be for me? And Brother Branham said, according to the Bible, it's to whosoever will. And he says, but I've been taught that that's for a day gone by. Then Brother Branham says, well, then the teachers taught you wrong. And he says, how do you know they were wrong? And Brother Ram said, because I have had this personal experience. I've experienced it for myself. I have received the Holy Ghost. And so I know it's not for another day. And he says the thing is, they're teaching their church doctrines and creeds. They're teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. What is he talking about? It's a homemade religion. They have made up their religion based on perhaps maybe this scripture they pulled and that verse of scripture they pulled and over here and that. But you know, if you would ever sit down and talk to some of these individuals, religious men that believe these certain things, and you begin to point out these other scriptures and say, well, the way you're presenting the scripture you're presenting, it seems like that it contradicts this scripture over here. You know, like the whole thing about, water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you say to a person that baptizes, and they say, well, Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You say, yeah, but over here Peter says, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did these scriptures come together? They say, well, I'll take what Jesus said over what Peter said. Well, then they just might as well rip them pages out of their Bible because they don't believe them. They don't actually believe the whole Bible. And to me, to be able to say that is, to me, discrediting the Bible that they call to be their absolute, discrediting it, saying, well, some of it's true. Look, somehow, if this is the Bible to be believed, then everything's in it has got to come together and line up. One can't contradict the other. And just dismissing it as, well, that's what Peter said over there, but I'm going to take what Jesus said. My goodness, I mean, to hear that floors me. But the thing is, people do the same thing with this end time message.
Yeah, they do. Amen.
Well, you know, you got to realize he meant this. Sometimes he's talking to the church, other times he's talking to the bride. Oh my goodness, quit mincing words. You know what they've done? Coming out with, they pull a quote here and a quote there to say, well, you know, okay, maybe the fivefold ministry, that's God using that for the church, but it's not for the bride anymore. Because the bride has received the prophet. Oh my goodness. That is a homemade fig leaf religion. They have fashioned that out of their own opinions and thoughts. But what is it really based on? It's really not based on truth at all. What it's based on is what they don't want to do. That's really, if you could ever get down to the root of it, you find it's really based on what they have put this and that together to form something so they don't have to do something. You said, what are you talking about, Brother Jerry? They don't want to come to church. They don't want to come under the headship of Christ. Now, in their minds, they see it, I don't want to come under the headship of some man. But the Bible tells us that's the way God ministers his headship. But that's really what it is. They don't want to surrender to the headship of Christ. Because, see, if they don't surrender to that headship, then they can pick and choose what they want to believe. And so, you won't hear them say, well, I'll take what Jesus said or what Peter said. What you'll hear them say is, well, I'm going to go by what the prophet said. I don't need the fivefold ministry. I'm going to tell you something, friends. If the fivefold ministry is preaching something different than what the prophet preached, then don't listen to them. But that's really not what it is. Really what it is, they don't want somebody to point out, yeah, but Brother Branham said this over here. Why don't they just rip some of those pages out and do away with them because they don't believe them? So what they've done is they formed their own religion, their own religious covering. And they have actually, their mind has been fooled to think that they're okay. And that's why Brother Branham says there's going to be some people that are greatly disappointed on the day of judgment. And he says, because, you know, the thing is, their parents have taught them this or that or whatever about the truth or concerning the truth of God. And they've actually taught them their opinions. They've taught them the traditions or commandments of men. They have taught them things out of a homemade religions that they have actually heard taught and preached to them. And that's why you got people running around out here thinking they can still live in the world and say they believe the message and they're going to be okay. But Brother Branham says those are the ones that are going to be greatly disappointed on the day of judgment. And he says, and their children are going to come up on the day of judgment and they're going to say, we have a right to be here. Why? Because of what they have been taught. And by these things that they're teaching these other generations and that, what are they doing? They're actually making the word of God of none effect to them. Because you can preach the word to them, but you preach the truth of the word, show them right in the Bible, but it didn't line up with the teachings that's been given to them and passed down to them. So you know what they do? They reject that and hold to whatever has been told them or taught them or whatever ideal. And they'll hold to it, friends, till they die. Because it to them in this life, it allows them to have some type of a feeling of being okay without actually having to surrender or submit to God or to his word. Brother Branham actually says, he says, you know where the hardest pierces? He says, they pierced the hands of Jesus when they crucified. He said, but you know where the hardest pierces come from today? He said, from the pulpits. Them preaching doctrines and creeds and traditions. He says, they're actually piercing Jesus again. They're actually crucifying Jesus again because they are making the word of God of none effect to the people. Brother Branham says, speaking about where Jesus says, in vain do they worship me. He says, they are actually bearing the name of Christianity, of being a Christian. They're bearing it in vain. Well, today, you know, there's many, I believe the message, they're bearing that in vain. Because you know what it is? Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. They're saying one thing with their lips, but their life is testifying something entirely different. As we read here in Mark 7, and I want to go back to verse 8. He said, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. And then he says, there's washing of pots and cups and many other such things. And he said to them, for full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Well, I want to change gears here a little bit and move into something a little more on this. We come into the service And you know, here we know that judgment begins at the house of God. So we come here for ourselves to actually to judge ourselves by God's word. Now, if we truly and sincerely do that, then when the word comes forth and the word points out things to where we need to change, or we need to lay this aside, or we need to be different, then we have then before us a choice whether we will accept that then and actually conform to the word, or whether we'll actually choose not to conform to that. But why would we choose, as message believers, why would we choose not to conform? It's something that I have not only witnessed personally myself, but talking with other ministers and things that they have witnessed in that. You know what we find? First of all, we find people come in from denominations. And so they got certain beliefs that they were taught and they hold to from those teachings. All right. And then they want to hold, and then they'll kind of pick and choose then through those and say, well, I think this one's pretty good, so I'll keep that one. And I think this one over here, the other thing they said, I think that was pretty good too, so I'll keep that too. And then I'll also accept the message. And then you find that some of those things that they have kept are actually not scripture at all. They're actually man-made teachings. And they hold to them. And then you got those that come into the message, and wherever they came into the message, whatever church they initially came into in that church had certain teachings and certain doctrines and things they taught the people. And so the people, they eventually will leave that church when they find out that something exactly wasn't right there, you know, with the pastors or the church or something, you know, their teaching. But they'll still cling to some of the teaching they bring out of these other message churches. I'm talking about these legalistic teachings that aren't based on the word at all. And they'll hold to those. And they drag them in over into here. And they'll say, okay, we believe these things you're preaching, but also these other things that we have held on to that we believe to be right, we hold to those things as well. And so then anytime anything is preached or something they observe that to them is not according to that teaching they have held on to, then they have an issue. They got a problem. You know, they perhaps come out of a church that all they do is ever preach on is center on is the women's hair, how they should dress, and all these different things like that. You know, hair and shoes and clothing and this and that, you know, and that, you know, and they actually take those things to a legalistic degree. You know, a minister one time, a good friend of mine, he told me he went to visit this other church and that it asked him to come and to preach. And so when he got over there, he had his wife with him. When he got over to the church, it was another message church, you know, it found out they thought women, the right thing, they needed to wear flat shoes, no heel at all. So he took his wife out to Walmart to get her a set of flat shoes to wear while he preached there. I can tell you that would not be me. I am not going to conform to somebody's legalistic hogwash. That's not scriptural based. But they'll take a quote that Brother Branham said about high-heeled shoes and that. But then they take and they translate that and interpret that to fit what they want it to fit. I was talking to this same brother, this very dear friend of mine, I was talking to him about this, you know, and he said, well, you know what, Brother Jerry, he said, I know Brother Branham said that, he said, but go to the film of 20th Century Prophet. And he says, in that film, and y'all are familiar with it, Brother Branham invite these two men come into his house to talk to him, these two brothers. And while they're sitting there in the living room talking and that, his wife, Sister Meadie, comes in carrying a tray with some refreshments on it. And you know, people watch this film and they completely pass over something there that the attention isn't really drawn to. Her shoes have heels. So for people to take that and translate what Brother Branham said to mean women should wear a flat shoe, they are actually saying something he didn't say. But that, I'm just giving you that example to show you how men will take these things that they've created and they'll try to pass it off as something they got out of the message when it isn't. It's their own idea. Now, I know it pointed out, I know then we're saying there's a lot of them out there. What they're teaching is actually their own opinions. But this is the thing I want you to realize. Brother Branham says this at one point in the message. He says, look, I try to stay strictly with the word and not opinions. And I want you to know something, friends. That is what my thing that I try to achieve here is, not bring you my opinions. I've got them just like you do. I don't want to bring you my opinion of something. I want to bring you the word of God so we can conform to that word. Now, this is the thing I'm getting at. When we bring the word of God and we point out these different things, and let's go deeper. Let's get beyond all these outward things. Let's get to the character here. When we start bringing the word to show you what the character of Christ is and how that we ought to live, our character, present ourselves, how we ought to treat one another. Friends, look, to me, this goes beyond how you wear your hair, how you wear your clothes, how you wear your shoes. It goes way deeper than that. We're actually talking about how you yourself live and act. And this is the thing that I have ran into. That people have things that are actually traditions of their families that do not conform to the word of God. And they will continue those family traditions rather than accept the word of God. I have no other answer for how you could preach to people and teach them these things, and years on down the road, they haven't moved from it. Why? They're actually rejecting the word of God when you do that. And you're holding to some type of a tradition. And here's the whole thing. We look at these Jews, friends, and you look at the traditions they have, and you know the way Jesus lists here about washing the pots and cups and such things like that. Jesus is actually telling them, look, these things are kind of trivial, actually. But when you go back and you look at them, all of it actually came from the law. And there was a reason for it. But there are things that people hold to today, they didn't come from anywhere. But actually some kind of thing, we've always done it this way in our family. And this is what I want to point out to you, friends. Look, this isn't about me trying, like I've said so many times, I'm not trying to make you brownies. When I'm preaching this up here by the word of God, I'm not measuring your family up to my family's of brownie. This ain't about families and family names on this earth. This is about being children of God. This is about being in the family of God. This is about being sons and daughters of God. And that is the standard that we should be measuring our lives by. But people have listened many times to these, perhaps thoughts the devil has injected to them. Well, he thinks his family is better than our family. It ain't about that. Friends, as I told you, look, to me, you know, There's rascals that was in the Browning family too. And we've got a lot of relatives that they're our blood relation, and it ain't all the same last name, but they're still our family just the same in this flesh lineage. But I don't want their traditions. We have things that we deal with where it seems like it's the same thing continuously cropping up. And I begin to wonder as a pastor, have I completely failed? That we have not, in the years that God has sent me here, moved beyond some of those things. Why am I still hearing the same stuff? And the thing is, friends, what I got to tell you is, I don't know. Has people been sitting there saying, well, I think that's just Brother Jerry's opinion. That's his way. And then they see people that maybe are changing and conforming. They say, well, you're just a Browning. No, they're not. We don't want to be Brownings. We want to be children of God. Here's the thing I'm telling you, buddy, all these things I say. Look, I don't want you to be a Brownie. There's a lot of imperfections in that family. It's just as much flesh and blood, earthly family, full of mistakes as anybody else's family. But I know people aren't actually referring to all these other relatives. You know what they're referring to? They're referring to me. Because they don't even know all those other people. So what is your problem with me? When God sent me here to pastor this church, I didn't come here with an intention to set up a kingdom for myself here. I didn't come here to try to bring to you my opinions on things. God forgive me if I have ever said anything like that, because that's never been what's in my heart or my intention. I want to bring you the Word of God. I want us to conform to the Word of God. But when we fail to conform to the Word of God, it has to come down to this. We're rejecting the Word of God so that we can keep our own tradition. Look, as a father here, of my family that's here with me now, I have endeavored and tried to actually to lead by example a way that I think family should interact and be with one another. I don't like drama. I don't like fussing and feuding and fighting. I don't like getting upset at one another over trivial things. We're all human. We've all got faults. There might be little things that different ones in my family say, well, this little thing, you know, my dad does or whatever. Yeah, that little thing. Yeah. But that's the human side. But guess what? They've got those things too. And if we sit around and pick and point at all these different things of one another, what have we got? A bunch of chaos. Feuds and fusses and holding grudges. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Look, somebody, here's the thing. If somebody does something that has upset you, something you don't agree with in that, somebody in your family, you need to find a way to forgive them. But once it's done and you've got past it, then when something else crops up, don't run back over to this other thing and pull it up and start talking about that thing again that took place 10 years ago. You know what that shows? That shows you've been holding it there all that time. You got a grudge. And especially when people go to dragging stuff up, that, you know, look, friends, look, I think we ought to appreciate the fact of the children and our relatives we have that actually have dedicated their life to God and are serving God. And the thing is, don't go back to the things they did before God got a hold of their life and changed them and drag those things back up and back out as proof of anything that you don't like right now. Now, I know I'm saying all these things, and you can say, well, it seems like it's coming across that that's just your view of it. It's not just my view of it. The Word of God teaches against that. The Word of God teaches us how we should talk with one another, how we should treat one another, the love we should have for one another. And look, the Bible clearly says that you as an individual need to confess your faults, not everybody else's faults. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And I'm going to tell you this. You say, well, my interaction with this individual, they're not treating me right. They're not acting right. How are you acting and treating them? Because, friends, look, if you're right where you should be with God, then the thing is, you ought to be able to treat them right, irregardless of how they're treating you. Now, look, I'm not talking about our interaction with unbelievers. If we are having more trouble with our interaction with those that are supposed to be believers than we are with the unbelievers, then, man, there is something wrong somewhere. And if we get to a place where we're allowing things like that to actually interfere so much in our minds and our lives to where we start getting the feeling of, I don't even feel like going to church, I have a hard time when I go there, then something's wrong. And I'll tell you this, pointing at the person you think that's what's causing you to feel that way is not really what's wrong. How many of you have ever accepted the excuse of somebody who quits church and says, well, I'm not going anymore because there's a bunch of hypocrites there? Well, we got one less now. Look, if you got the love of God in your life, how you act is not based on how somebody else is acting. How you react is not based on what they're doing. I know we're flesh and blood. I know we make mistakes. I know we got to keep this flesh into control. But this is the whole thing. The Bible tells us this about we need a man that won't bridle his tongue. We need to be able to bring our flesh into subjection to the Word of God. And not hold to things It's because, well, this is how I've always done it. Well, if that's the way you've always done it, and the Word of God is pointing out that it's wrong, then you've always done it wrong. Look, friends, I'm not preaching to you this morning. You believers here, I'm not preaching to you about that, well, you can't go and you can't go, but this one can go. No, I'm telling you, we need to bring our lives into subjection to the Word of God. Because when we don't, what we do is we make the Word of God of none effect. The Word's being preached in its truth, but it's not having the desired effect. It's not changing us. Because we're holding to something else. We allow thoughts to run through our heads. He's just saying that because I think this one over here came and told him that on me, and that's why he's saying that. I ain't taking nobody's side except Jesus' side. I want to stand here like Moses stood on that day and said, look, all that's on the Lord's side, come over here. If we want the power of God in our midst, then we have got to get beyond all these little petty things. Brother Branham said, when you hold to those things, he said, what you're doing is you're actually robbing God and you're robbing the people of the blessings of God. He said, because the word that they're hearing can't have the effect that it should have. Listen, turn with me. I don't know what time it is. Okay, I'm going to have to close here pretty rapidly. We've reached the end. Well, I'll just hold that. But let me say this. James says this. He says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When we know and we've been told what is the right way, then to continue on in a way that we're going that's contrary to the Word of God, it then becomes sin to us. I want us as a church to be able to grow. Look, friends, I can testify of this. God has done great things here in your lives. God has done great things here in this church. I will say this. The thing that God told me he was going to do with this assembly, I see him doing it. It is a strong church. We have had men at different times throughout the years that I've been here that have come through, and some of them have preached their opinions. And I was always led of the Holy Spirit to get up then and address those points that was just those men's opinions by actually bringing the true teaching of the end time message in the Word. But the thing is, I don't worry about somebody coming through here and preaching something false and y'all being deceived by it. I pray God help me to guard against it. Because I believe God has given me the responsibility of this here. However, friends, listen. Because I believe that God, there's actually... this church has grown. There is a strength here. Why? Because you've been founded on the Word. It might have took us a while to break away from the teachings of some of those in the past. There was years that I had to contend with, well, this is the way Jerry Bell did it. Well, Julie Bell was like this. And I'll tell you, I was gracious for many years. Because I for many years I let it go on by and didn't call out, but where's Jerry and Julie today? What is their life speaking of today? Because look, I don't know them, I never knew them, and this is the whole thing, friends. Whatever it's they're doing now, that's between them and God. But what I've had to deal with is the effects that was left behind here. But now there's many of you here, you weren't here back then. So, you never had that to begin with. There were those that were here that still never had a problem with you know. I'm not going to try to do it somebody else's way. I'm not trying to do it my way. It's one of the issues I think we ran into back when we first went to remodel this building years ago. There were some individuals that thought about this platform and how it was going to be and all that, that I was trying to do it my way. Look, if you don't trust me, if you don't trust me as a leader that God has placed here or the experience that God has given me to help me to be that pastor, then I can't lead you. You know, let me say this. You can stand. I watched a movie one time. I like watching movies about war things, military stuff, different things like that. Now, I watched a movie one time where it showed that these soldiers that were going into World War II, they had this officer that was leading them that they didn't trust him. And the reason they didn't trust him is because when he got out there in actual situations where he had to lead, he didn't know what he was doing. He was good with training. He was good with physical fitness. He was good with all these other things. But when it came to leading men in combat, this guy didn't have it. And so the men didn't trust his leadership. And there was, there was a man among them that actually kind of stood out, and they actually trusted him because he proved they could trust him, because they were trusting him with their lives to lead them into war in World War II. And this is the thing, friends. If you want me to lead you as a pastor, you got to trust me, and you got to trust that I'm not trying. I'm not trying to make you a brownie. Look, friends, when people marry into my family, I don't try to make these son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws into brownies. I try to lead us into being a family with one another. And what I'm trying to lead us here is into the Word of God. The very thing that I said to Brother Phil the first time he and I talked about, you know, him asking me to consider the possibility of coming here. We need to get ready to go in a rapture. And I believe that that's what we are doing. But I believe, friends, that it is important how we act here now. Because here's the thing. Brother Branham says this: death doesn't change an individual. However that individual is when they die, that's how they'll be when they come up. The Bible teaches that. If they die in their sin, they resurrect in their sin. If they die holy, they resurrect holy. Now, if we're supposed to have the Spirit of Christ, and we're supposed to live like Christ and treat one another as Christ would, then not only will death not change us in that, the resurrection won't change us in it. The rapture isn't going to change you in that either. So it's actually allowing ourselves, judge ourselves. I'm not here to judge you. You come here to judge yourself. By what? The Word of God. Not my opinion, not some man's tradition, not some church's creed, but by the Word of God. And that's the thing we've got to conform to. And as we allow God to work in our lives with that, friends, we will become better Christians. We will become better people. You will actually become better fathers, better mothers, better brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins. You will actually even become a better citizen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask God that may the Word of God strike deep into our hearts this morning. Lord, may we, Lord, take an honest look at ourselves and realize, God, where do we stand? How do we measure? Each of us, Brother Branham speaking about the scripture, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, said, each of us should take inventory of our life and our Christian experience and see where do we stand with your word. Lord, the reason it's important for how we act and how we do now is because that's how we're going to be. And if there is a required change, that change has got to happen. And it will happen for every elect seed of God. I ask you, Lord, bless your people today. Lord, as we go into this week, Lord, there are going to be many of them gathering with loved ones, family members, and friends. And Lord, for observing, Lord, a day of Thanksgiving, dear God, that and having their family meals together, Lord. And Lord, no doubt, Father, everyone has their favorite dish or something, the food that they love and enjoy, dear God. And maybe they're looking forward, dear Lord, to that particular dish, Lord, and that. But Lord, it goes way beyond that. Those things are all nice for us in the flesh, God. But Lord, it goes way beyond that. Lord, we, dear Lord, we need to cherish these times that we can come together. And Lord, may, Father, as each of them sits down to have this, that share that time together, may, Lord God, that you would bless their gathering. May, dear God, that their gathering with one another would be edifying to one to each other. May it be a gathering where things are talked and spoke, dear God. Lord, that there won't be any foul things said. That there won't be anything, Lord God, that is said, Lord, out of the flesh or to disturb or disrupt or divide. Lord, may God that there would be things said to give him thanks to you. Things about what you've done in their lives over this last year. Things of how you've blessed them, not only maybe just materialistic things, Lord, but blessed them spiritually. Lord, I pray for our believers here. There are those here, Lord, many of us, God. We've got loved ones, God, that they're not where they should be with you. Lord, we've got loved ones that are in need of salvation. We've got loved ones, dear God, that need, Lord God, to be born again. We got loved ones, dear God, that maybe are backslidden and need to come back to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for all of that. I pray for these individuals. And Lord, we never fail, Lord, to give you praise. In Jesus Christ's name,